Hello and welcome to Just Bugs, an appreciation podcast for those oft-ousted creatures we humans call bugs, despite their official classifications. I'm your host, Savannah, and today I have my co-host, Matt, with me.
Hey, back again after a long wait.
Yeah, hey, thanks for waiting.
No problem.
Sorry so much about our short absence there. You know, life, you know.
It happens.
Stuff. Yeah. It's been good, though, but we're back.
Parented.
Yes. So this episode is going to be about a lovely moth called the giant peacock moth. It is a listener request from Emma. Thank you, Emma, for your listener request.
Oh, thank you very much for the request. Yeah, if you have a request, you can send it to our Gmail, which is justbugspodcast@gmail, or on Instagram if you feel like it.
Yeah, you could definitely do it that way also.
And if you like our content and want more of it, check us out on Patreon, Just Bugs on Patreon.
Yes, great. Do that.
Where you can participate in discussions with us. And I have bug comics I do every month and other things that are just escaping me right now.
Yeah, there's other stuff. Go check it out. But yes, this is about the giant peacock moth. Giant peacock moth. Scientific name is Saturnia pyri. Or Pyri. It's actually probably Pyri.
Pyri makes more sense.
It's P-Y-R-I.
And the idea of giant, though, I feel like that's kind of subjective. Like, how giant we talk? Are we talking like building size?
That one.
Planet size? Yeah, I'm sure it's not that big. But still, like, I don't know. Giant is just like kind of like
It's definitely subjective. Yeah. So
like,
not that big. Giant. I mean, giant for compared to like most bugs.
I see.
But on a scale of like what we would consider giant, by no means is it giant.
Gotcha. So like, yeah, well, I'm sure we'll get to the size, but okay. Yes. I was just preparing my mind for the possibility of a truck sized bug.
Yeah, we're definitely not talking Mothra sized buggo. Yeah. Yeah. So it is an insect and a moth. That makes sense.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Some other names, the great peacock moth instead of giant peacock moth.
Well, this one's just way more awesome. It's the great one.
It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
It's more than good.
It's great.
The giant emperor moth and the Viennese emperor.
Well, those ones have like, you know, people to rule over. So that's good, too. They have status.
Yeah, I think the emperor thing is just because of the size. I'm not sure. I looked up like what the.
Yeah,
I think it's called phenology or something like that. But I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, because there's like the emperor scorpion and then others probably. And maybe it's something to do with size. Like they're big, then therefore they're the leader.
Yeah, I think that must be it. But this is just speculation, to be fair.
To be fair. Tis fair.
So what do they look like? They're super fuzzy all over. I mean, their wings are not like fuzzy necessarily, but they wings have like these little tiny scales that make them look kind of fuzzy, you know?
I guess.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, they got wings, but you're saying their body is very fuzzy.
So
for
fuzzy.
Sure.
Like the head, the thorax, the abdomen, all fuzz covered, and the upper portion of all of their legs. So they're just little balls of cute.
I see. Yeah, they kind of look like that art that I can never remember the name of, where you have like balls of fluff and you like push them in and you make like figures.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't know.
It looks like flock or
something.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. There's definitely flocking, but I don't know how they do that.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it either. They make like little like miniature mouses or something.
Like
position. I don't know what they do it for, but it looks like that. It looks like that with sticks coming out of it.
Yeah, I've seen like Pop Toys that are flocked.
Mm.
But I think they just spray like a fuzz on it or something.
Yeah, I think that's a different thing. Not what I'm thinking of.
So this is totally off topic, I guess. So is it like a needle work?
Yeah, it's like they have like a ball of like, I don't know, like fluff, and then they like use the needle and it like compresses it and like they can shape it somehow with it. I'll have to show you
Yeah,
later.
Please do, because I don't know that I know what you're talking about.
Well, that's okay.
It sounds cool though, for sure. But yes, aside from being fluffy, they do have sort of smaller heads compared to the rest of their body. On their heads, they have big compound eyes on either side, pretty typical for an insect.
Mm-hmm.
However, they do have, or likely have, ocelli, which are those hat eyes we're always talking about, the simple eyes.
Yeah, most things that fly around at night are usually have those just for navigation and whatnot, right? So
just fly around in general. But yes, for navigation, I think it's usually the bugs that fly during the day that have them.
Oh, really?
They use like the sun to like navigate where they're at.
Oh, I was
like
thinking moon for that.
I mean, that could
but work I guess too. The moon's way more inconsistent.
Yeah, and for butterflies and moths in general, they don't all have ocelli, but this one comes from the order Lepidoptera. You know what? They probably all do. But typically they do have ocelli.
I see.
But they might not be visible, and I couldn't find that this species specific had it. But
science point to maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Science point to maybe. Not to maybe. Anyways, sexual dimorphism. They have it.
They have it. Oh, they do. Have it. Oh, I thought we were going to talk about their antenna thingies.
Yeah, maybe. Right now.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
Yeah. So the males have large yellow feathered antenna. So the females do not. Their antenna are lighter colored and they're not feathered. They're like more straight.
Yeah. The fluffy ones, they kind of remind me of like the end of like a makeup brush. I think that's what you call it. I don't know. They're like little fur brushes.
Like a mascara brush?
Yeah, a mascara brush. Yeah. Or like, you know, a fish skeleton from a cartoon.
That's like a really good, that's like a really
yeah,
good
Yeah, you know,
comparison.
Like there's always like in an alley and they're like the starving animal, like
yeah,
cats
like
are
the
eating
alley
it.
Cats are eating yeah. them. Aw, that made me sad.
Oh, they're not cats. Real. It's okay.
Well, okay. But yeah, that's a really good comparison. They kind of have like, it's almost like a, they call it like a combed antenna.
Yeah.
That's what they got. And the reason that they have them is likely due to natural selection. So the males need the feathered antenna because it helps them to catch like more minute quantities of the female pheromones, aka help them mate.
So it helps them find females. Yes. That makes sense. So like the females don't need to have that, mm-hmm. so that theirs are not as crazy.
Exactly.
I see.
Yeah. Yes. So back to kind of what they look like. The thorax, which, you know, is behind the head. It's also fluffy, like I mentioned.
Yeah.
And that's where the legs come from, of course. They're not coming out of the abdomen or the head.
Hear
they
that,
come
kids?
Out of the thorax.
That's where legs come from bodies. They sprout out.
I mean, am I wrong?
If you're
though?
Not good, you won't grow your legs if you don't eat your vegetables.
Oh, it's terrible. Could be true. Could be. I don't know. I ate my vegetables. Yeah. I've got legs.
That's true. You do. And I mean, if you had too much, you might sprout more legs. I don't know. Eat the appropriate amount of vegetables, kids.
You know, it's not a bad message. Yeah, go with that. Their abdomens behind the thorax are very fuzzy, very fuzzy. They're like the fuzziest part. And they have like striped, dusty white / blackish gray alternating stripes, basically.
Mm.
But it's really wide.
Sounds pretty.
It is.
Yeah, their bodies seem to be pretty big and chonky.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about like their size. They are the largest European moth. Cool, good for them. They're 15 to 20 centimeters or like 6 to 8 inches with their wingspan specifically. Yeah. And then their body size, just based off like the images that I saw and kind of the comparison with their wing size, I'm guessing it's like an inch to an inch and a half wide and like maybe like 3 to 4 inches long.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, I mean, I might classify that as a huge moth. So
yes,
I guess
giant.
It's aptly named. Oh, giant. That's what it was. Oh, man, I messed it up. Oh, well.
It's okay. Huge, giant. They mean the same thing. Synonyms, you know? So the males are actually smaller than the females. The female abdomens are larger, like I mentioned. And then the males have like different shaped wings, which is really interesting. I don't see that a lot. Maybe it's just because the pictures I've seen, but I think what I'm seeing is that the male's forewings kind of go like up and have very little overlap with their hind wings, kind of like that quintessential butterfly shape.
Yeah, the tip, like typical.
Yes.
Yeah. Butterflyness.
Yeah, the butterflyness.
Yeah.
Where the females that I've seen have all had their wings kind of pointed down. I don't know what kind of shape that would be.
It looks like a triangle.
Almost triangular. Yeah. And
I see. They're built for speed is what you're saying. Maybe. Yes. They're aerodynamic.
Maybe. Yeah. And they have a lot more overlap with their hind wings. So That's just something I noticed. It's not something I read necessarily, but looking at the pictures of the males and the females, I noticed most of the time the males have their wings going up and the females are down.
Interesting. Yeah, I wonder why it would be different.
I have no idea.
Yeah, we will both wonder together.
With all of the audience.
Yeah.
So the coloration, they are both kind of this grayish sort of tans and light color browns mixed in together, some dark grays, some light grays. And the females and the males both have these like eyes, almost their eye shaped circles on all four of their wings. But the males have an additional color where the top four wings around the eyes get this like maroony kind of color. And then the bottom four wing or the hind wings get like almost like a mustardy yellow.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Like, they do have what look like eyes. Like, it actually looks like the eyes of maybe like an owl or something. Mm. And I always wonder, like, how did they just like know where to put those? You know, it's like so weird. It's like, oh, I just want an eye like right there. And then they all have them in like the same spot. It's just such an interesting thing. And yeah, they do have like the darker front wings and the yellowier back wings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they definitely, it must be some camouflage thing. It must be.
I think it is. Yeah. Especially because like all, they have these like patterns all over them. Some of them are darker with lighter patterns, that sort of thing. But all the lines are like super like, non-distinct. Like they're, it's very blurry, wavy. Yeah. Blurry, wavy. Almost psychedelic in nature.
Well, I think it's, that's, if you're trying to be like camouflaged, having like a less crisp look, mm-hmm. I think helps for blending a little bit, you know?
I do.
Yeah. And so, yeah, makes it look more like an owl, honestly, because the wavy things make it look like feathers or something. Yeah.
That's really good.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So I think it's really great for one, the trying to look like a predator, and two, for camouflage.
And looking cool / creepy. Also.
That, well, not creepy, but cool for sure.
And there's like, because there's four eyes, it also like looks kind of confusing to look at. It looks like it's almost like if you looked at a owl through a kaleidoscope or something.
Ooh, I love that. That's perfect.
Like, it's just like some distorted monstrosity of a few owls glued together or something. Yeah, it definitely would be horrifying. A deterrent for eating it. I would not want to eat it.
But yeah, I don't think that they choose to put the eyes on them. I think it's like selected for, but very smart if they did.
Yeah, you know, there was one that had five eyes and one that had two, and then there was this one, and then all the other ones got eaten, and for some reason the four one survived, I guess.
Because he looks like the scary owl monster.
Yeah, apparently. It's terrifying.
So that is one of their anatomical defenses, is those circular eyes that are just to make them look like a big scary predator monster thing so that they can avoid their predation. And then there's another defense that they have as larvae or caterpillars, where they let out this like chirp that's ultrasonic, and it serves as like a warning to the predators to stay away from them. And then also, if they're feeling especially threatened, they'll produce this like stinky chemical to deter their predators.
So they make like a sound like, hey, like, leave me alone or something. I don't know what it sounds like. And then the second line of defense is to just smell bad. I love that. Yeah. I really love the idea of just smelling bad as one way to not be eaten, which is fair. That would probably work for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to eat that.
Like if I was going to eat like a big juicy piece of like chicken or something and it like farted, I probably would not want
to
eat it.
To be fair, I have gone to prepare a piece of chicken and had it be farted? Stinky. And I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I think that odor is a strong deterrent for
eating.
Yeah, for consuming anything, really.
Really?
Yeah, no, don't smell bad. Food, stop it.
But yeah, they will either release this odor with their chirp or just before the chirp.
Yeah, it's all about what's necessary.
Agreed.
It seems how aggressive something is trying to eat them.
Yes. So where do you think they're found?
I mean, I'm going to say like a woody area, but I would think that those are pretty abundant. So I'm going to say like a good solid part of Earth. I would say they live on. I don't think they live in outer space. I'm going to say that. I'm going on a limb and say that they probably don't live in outer space. But
that's like, you're like so smart.
And probably not under the water, although maybe. But
I don't think so.
Probably not in the ocean.
Definitely not. See, you're so smart. You got it.
Thanks.
Got it in one.
Yeah.
They are native to Europe or Europe.
Ah, Europe.
Europe. But I do have a very specific list of where they're found.
Drum roll for the good reading of list.
Oh. They are found in the south of France, northern Hungary, the Iberian Peninsula. Peninsula is hard to say. Central and south Serbia, Croatia, Montenegro, southern and eastern Bulgaria, southern Greece, Turkey, and Kyrgyzstan. Western Syria, Lebanon, northern Israel, south Romania, Russia, Ukraine, Czech Republic, Slovak Republic, Slovenia, North Macedonia, and Italy. Oh, and North Africa.
I like it. Yeah, I don't know what it would be like to be well-cultured, but I can only dream.
Yeah, right?
Like, I don't know any of those places or anything about them. I mean, some of them, obviously, I've heard of, but...
Yeah.
I know so much of the globe. I'm so far away from.
Yeah, geography's not it for me. I just don't know it. It's very interesting, but I wasn't good at geography, I guess. But yeah, they are associated with shrublands and woodlands, placed with wood. Good.
Ah, shrubs. They're good guys. Them shrubs.
Yeah, I mean, they're not bad guys.
Bob Ross is a fan of them.
Shrubs? You're right.
Yeah.
And woods.
And woods, he likes tree friends too.
He does, yeah, happy little tree friends.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. So they do prefer a temperate Mediterranean or continental climate.
I don't know picky, what it sounds like. Are. Yeah, that sounds like picky.
They like nice places that are nice. So what do they eat?
I've noticed that a lot of these bugs like to eat good old plants. So like, yeah. No, I don't like anything that sounds good, like honeysuckle and peach blossom and berry bush and the classics.
Yeah, the classics.
Milkweed.
Milkweed is almost always there. They are polyphagous in their larval stage. It means that they eat lots of different species.
I was
going to
say,
plants.
It sounds like they eat a lot.
They do. They really do. They're mostly opportunistic with their feeding, and they do eat plants, specifically trees. More specifically, here's another list for you.
Ooh.
Here we go. Plum, wild plum. Those might be the same.
Angry
thing.
Plum.
Black.
Standoffish plum.
Indifferent plum.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Blackthorn, sweet cherry, almond. Olive, willow, apple, maple, alder, plane, elm, ash, walnut, money, and poplar.
Did you say money tree?
Yes.
You're not going to slip that one in there. You got me like 2 weeks in a row with that one, or two episodes in a row. No, there's no such thing as a money tree, except for...
There's a whole book about it.
Except for in the book. Let me finish.
And it was once documented to eat the gum tree.
The gum tree.
It's a tree.
You mean the rubber tree?
No, gum. Actual gum.
Oh, that's true. Gum does come from a tree. It does, which is interesting.
It is.
Yeah. Look into those things. It's really interesting and fun thing to tell people at parties that
money trees.
You know where rubber comes from and gum and
maple.
And maple all come from trees. Yeah. Very cool.
Yes. I'm glad you caught it. I did try to say the list slower
quicker.
This time.
Oh, yeah, why? I was paying attention. I had a feeling.
This time you knew?
I was like, plane tree doesn't sound
it
very...
It is, though.
I know. What's a plane tree?
I don't know. It's a tree. That one was not me.
Very cool. I like it.
So the adult... That's all what the larva eat. That's what caterpillars eat. They eat the leaves from those trees. Adults, however, I couldn't find anything on what the adults eat. I did, however, read that most moth adults either don't eat or eat very little, so they probably just don't eat.
Yeah, we find that a lot of these flying creatures mostly fly to mate and then die, so they don't really eat that much because they don't need to. They store up all the calories when they're fat little chubby bubbies, and then they turn into
chubby bubbies.
Yeah, and then they turn into the fly guys, and then they die.
Wow, that was a lot of cool phrases.
Thanks,
I loved it. What eats them though?
Oh man,
you always kill this one.
I mean, possums.
Okay.
Opossums. I'm trying to say things.
Opossums.
I'm trying to say things I don't say.
I think that's probably fair.
Wolverine.
Definitely. Jack-o'-lanterns. Jack-o'-lanterns?
No. It's birds. It's probably lizards.
It's lizards.
Mammals of the furry nature, like cats
cats are always
wild dogs of some kind. I don't know. Yeah.
No, yes, for sure. And bats and rodents, so maybe opossums.
Yeah.
And skunks were in there.
I think anteaters eat ants. Never mind.
They do. They do, yeah.
It's in the name.
There are some other prey or predators that consider them a prey species, I guess. Hornets, ants, beetles, and spiders.
I forgot about the other bugs. Mm-hmm. That's my bad. Yeah, anything that would fly and is vicious, like a hornet.
Or a beetle. Well, beetles aren't vicious. But yeah, the last two, beetles and spiders, they really just eat the pupa. So they like get into the cocoon and they eat the squishy pupa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of these predators, though, like, I mean, all of them are non-specific, and I found them for just moths in general because they didn't have a list for this moth
specific. Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot. There's just not that much on specific things. And so, if they're in the same family, they probably have similar diets, right?
Yeah, I would just say like big, all of these things. So big lizards, big birds, big bats.
They'd have to be bigger, or, if they're smaller, they get more food, so.
Yeah, but they'd have to fit it in their mouth, though.
Well, they could take bites.
I don't think, a sparrow is going to eat this thing, It's, smaller than...
Mm,
I mean, you're right.
I think he'd be pretty happy to eat this thing.
Yeah, that's fair. So, reproduction!
Woo!
Woo! mating occurs... Well, I guess we should start with the males find the females. We kind of talked about that with the antenna thing.
Yeah, the fish bones.
Right. Then they meet tail to tail, so... A lot of the times when we're talking tail to tail with insect mating, it's like not facing each other and their butts are just
Butt to butt.
Mm-hmm. With this, it can be that way, but for the most part, like the tails touch and then they kind of like put their bodies together, like legs facing legs.
Really?
Yeah, like their undersides kind of facing each other.
That's super interesting.
I thought so too. But yeah, the female's clinging to some sort of plant. The male comes, meets her, and then they kind of face each other like that. And then when the mating is complete, the female flies away and begins laying her eggs. And she lays them on the branches of plants in like clusters. It was kind of not best for me.
Yeah, hard to look at.
Yeah.
For you.
But basically they like lay them in like around the branch, like in a ring around it. Like if it were a real ring, you would like take it off. It's a cluster of eggs and it's gross. So yeah.
Yeah, that does sound really gross. That sounds, it reminds me of that scene in Alien where they find all the alien eggs, and it's also really gross. And then they like open, and they got stuff in there, and it's just
huggers.
Yeah, and like goo, lots of goo. I always wonder what kind of goo they use in movies. I'm like, is that like petroleum jelly, or
like
is that
slime, like traditional?
Yeah, or like fun slime. I don't know. It's always fun for me to guess.
I wonder.
It's a fun game.
I like that game.
Try it out if you don't like horror movies and you're watching one against your will. Just try to focus on how they did the practical effects. It's a fun game.
I like that. Good advice.
Thanks.
So the eggs are ovular and green when they're laid, but then they harden to this like kind of gross, like tannish, grayish, creamy color.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. Or yellow or pink or gray, but they're all like.
Oh, it's like Easter. I'll
but
get
not
a pink
fun.
One, a gray one.
It's more like a cloudy, icky.
Okay, yeah, the worst version of all those colors.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah, exactly. So they hatch in 7 to 10 days after they're laid. And when they hatch, the caterpillars go through 4 to 5 instars or molts.
Cha-cha-cha-chia.
What?
That's them growing in real time during the infomercial.
Thank you. I was so confused. I was like, what are we talking about here?
Chia pets.
The first instar is mostly black with these little like whitish gray hairs all over them. They're caterpillars. They look like fuzzy caterpillars.
Oh, yay.
Mm-hmm. But little.
Crawling eyebrows?
Kind of, but tiny.
Oh, I see.
Like if you were going to put a fuzzy eyebrow on a
the doll?
Mouse.
A mouse, okay.
Yeah, but two of them. Anywho, they are... Little, like little teeny guys with the little white hairs, but soon the white hairs turn from that yellowish, whitish coloration to like all black. So then they're literally little tiny eyebrows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're just all black.
Very cool.
But fuzzy still. And then as they continue to eat and grow and molt, they get less fluffy and more of that like plump Pumbaa and Timon eat me kind of caterpillar.
The juicy ones, yeah. Right.
So they get longer and fatter and their exterior becomes more like slick looking dark brown color. And then their hairs are more sparse and actually it's more like a tubercle and then a hair coming out of it rather than like fluffy all over.
That sounds gross.
It's not that bad. So as they continue from there, their second instar, they have these little tubercles like I mentioned. And those are different colors from the rest of the body. So the second instar, the whole caterpillar is like a brownish, blackish orange color or brown color. And then the tubercles are like red or orange. So they got little like red or orange raised dots all over them that have like little hairs.
They have hair sticking out. That sounds gross.
It's not gross. It's fine.
It sounds like hairy. Like, in, I don't even know. I don't know. It sounds bad.
Oh, anyway, I don't think it sounds that
hairy
bad.
Hairy freckles. I don't know.
Hmm. I don't like that.
Yeah, see?
Yeah,
it's gross.
I don't like that. Soon, they develop like a yellowy pattern on their sides and a dark greenish blue banding along their bodies. Now, that's not that like visible. It, you have to really look for it because they're pretty dark, but there is a different coloration between the like segments of their body. And then more stuff. At the third instar, they change completely. They don't look like they did at all at this point. They're much larger, they're super plump, and they're bright green with yellow nodules at the base and like small black stripes or like dots on every segment that contains the hairs and the tubercles.
Is it normal for these to be changing their appearance so much in the grubby form? Like,
I don't know.
It seems like it's pretty excessive. Usually it's just like they look like tiny versions or they are green caterpillars. You know what I mean? Like those are the tiny thing, like most common things, I think.
I think, well, if you think about like, I think we just haven't covered anything that changes a lot in a long time. But like beetle larvae, they change a lot. I think maybe I don't.
I guess I'm thinking more like the colors are so different. Yeah, maybe it's just that we actually have some more explanation.
Yeah, the color thing is more detailed in this than because I got to see pictures.
Oh, I see.
So I saw pictures of every single stage and I read because sometimes people raise these and I read like every individual step and what you should be looking for.
I like it.
Rearing them.
More detail.
Yeah. That's what they look like. More stuff about what they look like. They have like green heads to match their green body at this point. And they do have like, it kind of looks like a striped or spotted cactus, like when they're all spiky and green and they got the little dots and stuff. And they have like a palish lavender pink color for their nodules at this point.
Yeah, it just seems so weird that it's changing so much.
Oh,
but
it keeps changing.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, and at the final instar before pupation, the nodules become like a baby blue color, like classic baby blue. Bright baby blue.
Cute.
Yeah. But
yay,
they're still
blue
green
nodules.
All over. It's cute, okay? If you saw a picture, you wouldn't be that creeped out by it. But anyways, the caterpillars live for around 5 weeks, and then they pupate. The pupa is a light brown color and is woolly, and it actually, it's like a large cocoon that takes like 2 days to make. And then inside the cocoon, the moth makes a hard chrysalis. So like,
oh, interesting. So it's like furry on the outside. And
yeah, it kind of looks like a fuzzy seed pod. And then inside, think more. What is that Pokemon that's green and it's hard everywhere? And it turns into a bee. Darn.
Metapod.
Yeah, like Metapod.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's like
I
little
really had to dig for that one.
You got there. I'm proud of you. I wouldn't be able to do it. But yeah, inside of the woolly like cocoon is like a hard brown metapod.
It's like a seed
chrysalis
in the middle.
Exactly. You see?
Why did it have to be furry? What, like every they're like it must always be hairy. I just don't know why the hair must persist. But
I don't
know.
I mean, it's their thing, I guess. But yeah. Inside there, they make that hard chrysalis. That takes about five days to a week. And then the pupa overwinter and emerge in spring as adults. This species has to overwinter, though. Like, the pupa.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, pupa has to overwinter or else they just don't, like, survive.
Hmm, I wonder why.
I don't know, but I do know it's a thing. They have one generation per year, never more than that. The imagos, or adults, live for like a week or two.
I think it's pronounced amigos.
That's a different thing. They could be our friends, though. So, yeah. Caterpillars are...
Chunky, juicy, yummy.
Yeah, all those things. And also solitary.
There. Well, that's the one I was looking for. I was close.
Yeah, I mean, the caterpillars hatch in groups, but they kind of like stay near each other, but it's not like a social insect per se.
Yeah, they just were born next to each other. They're not like, let's hang out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Are they rare, you think?
I'm going to say no.
So, yes and no. In the past, no. In the now, yes. Because, sadly, these moths are becoming more increasingly rare due to two main factors. Not good ones. The use of pesticides and weed killers on crops and in forests are killing them. They're killing their populations greatly, basically. And then the other thing that's kind of doing a bad thing for their population is collectors. Bug collectors.
Of course. Yeah, that's true. I forget about that one. It's like, hey, it's so cool they like have them and raise them and stuff, but they do have to come from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And also like, so people get them, they raise them, they come from somewhere. You're right. And then also for a lot of like entomology, taxidermy type stuff, those don't always come from super safe or ethical sources.
Wait, you're not telling me that they kill them before they, like, pin them?
Of course they do. I mean, wouldn't it be worse if they didn't, though?
Well, if you found them dead, I wouldn't feel that bad about it.
No, what's interesting is, I think that is what you want as, like, an oddities collector, or at least what I want. Like, I go to an oddity shop.
Yeah, you want it to be, like, died of it on its own accord.
Yeah, I go to an oddity shop that claims to, at least, get most of their stuff from, like, super ethical sources. Like, they died. But you never really know.
They said bye to their family. You know, they got to reminisce on their whole life and then they passed and then now they're in a jar in your closet.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why you shouldn't get oddities from like online.
Yeah, that's true. You don't know where they're coming from.
A different country. You never know what happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I saw a bunch of bat like taxidermy and it was all like they had collected all the bats from a cave and offed all of them.
Ooh.
Isn't that terrible?
No, it's
so
not good.
Bad. Anyway, so you know, there's bad stuff out there. People are not always the best, and that sometimes is how these moth
because they're pretty and interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
And they are pretty. I mean, they are terrifying to me because moths have a tendency to attack me for some reason. But and to think of an 8-inch one coming towards me is not great. But they still look cool, and I don't want them to be all dead.
I appreciate that. I feel the same without the scared of mothness.
Yes.
Do you think that they're dangerous?
No.
So, I mean, you're right, for the most part. Caterpillars are kind of one of those, like, hit or miss. They're either super dangerous
or not. Oh, yeah, that's true. They can be, like,
butterflies, moths, not usually. But yeah, for this one, there's a potential it could be dangerous if it's consumed. Now,
don't eat them.
Don't eat them. Good point. Also, they're only going to be dangerous if that specific caterpillar has eaten a toxin from one type of plant that they sometimes consume.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, one of their food sources could be poisonous to humans. They eat it. They carry it. Oopsie daisy. Now it's our fault. Well, we shouldn't be eating them.
I agree.
So, no Hakuna Matata.
Well, I mean, Hakuna Matata still, but like, don't eat bugs.
Though. Yeah.
I mean, unless you gotta, for some reason. But yeah, the toxin that they can potentially carry is called juglan.
Juglan.
I think it's interesting.
Yeah, that is a very interesting name.
Silly name.
Yeah, it is.
Silly name.
Juglan.
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 Sorry, I don't know why that's so... And then environmental impact. So the caterpillars eat leaves of trees, but I don't think that they eat them in great quantities where it would be an issue.
It depends how many caterpillars.
Exactly. And I did write pollinators, yo, on my notes, but I don't necessarily
know. Is that a scientific term?
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought so. What does that mean?
Pollinators, but I don't know that they're pollinators because I don't know that the adults eat anything. If they do, they're pollinators. If they don't, they're not.
Maybe they're just like spreading love and pollen.
Love and pollen.
Yeah.
I like that.
I have a shirt that says love and pollen.
Spread love and pollen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, that's not a bad shirt.
It's good.
Let us know if you want that shirt.
Yeah, let us know.
We won't have enough money to buy it, but maybe eventually.
Yeah, and it could be cool.
Could be cool.
We can make it cool.
Love and pollen.
Spread love and pollen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. With bees on it?
With bees on it, yeah. Okay, cool. With bees on, yeah, spread love and bees.
So, cool stuff. Bing, 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 bing.
Hit
cool
stuff. It.
There's only one thing.
All right.
But it is kind of cool.
Cool stuff.
Cool, cool thing.
Singular stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is the singular stuff? Is it thing?
I guess so.
Huh.
What okay. is it? What's the thing?
So Aristotle may have spoken about them.
Oh, a man may have mentioned them. That's really interesting.
There's a text that describes a moth going through its life stages and then describes a woman brushing out the cocoon that they make into like a silken fiber, and then the woman weaving it. It's debated on what species this may have been referencing, but it's been narrowed down to two likely species, one of which is the giant peacock moth.
Well, that's 50% cool.
50% possibly cool. And yeah.
Aristotle is a famous philosopher, so
right,
he must have waxed poetically about possibly these or another moth at some
exactly.
point.
Exactly. Yep.
Interesting.
There wasn't that much cool stuff.
It's okay. It's okay.
I mean, it's cool.
It's cool.
You like Aristotle?
I do.
All right. That's all I have for you on the giant peacock moth.
What a good time. Thanks for bringing that in.
Hey, you're so welcome.
Well, it wasn't you. The listener request. Oh, right.
Thanks, Emma.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Yes, I do have one shout out for a photographer that we are going to be using this week on our Instagram. That is at Emmanuel or Emmanuele underscore biggie. It's E-M-A-N-U-E-L-E underscore B-I-G-G-I. Check it out. Awesome photographer. It's like a beautiful night shot of, I think it was a girl?
Yeah, it's a nice picture. I don't know the gender, but I definitely think it's really nice. Well, thank you for letting us use it. We appreciate it.
What kind of antennas? Boy. It's a boy.
Oh, yes. The fluffy ones.
Mm-hmm. Very yes. nice. Thank you so much. We very much appreciate that. And take it away.
Yeah, you know, if you have a listener request, send it to justbugspodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram at justbugs. If you want to get more from us, check us out on Patreon, Just Bugs on Patreon. And thank you guys for listening. Tell your friends. That's the best way to spread the show, and rate and review the show on your podcast platform of choice, if you don't mind. We like reading those. It makes us know, lets us know we're doing a good job or a bad job. So we appreciate it. Thanks for listening. And
don't squish bugs.
Don't squish bugs.
Okay, bye.
Bye, everyone.